RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez
and SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish
on 670 The Score.
My bad. We could. There's more transition outside if you guys want. Or you know what? I gotta be honest. I'm sure my wife would be like, "Yeah, come back home." I can't see Leo. Leo, I'm gonna move that chair in just a second. Bothering me now. You should come in the room and move it. No, I feel weird about it. See, this is why Ray Diaz has been here for so long. And this is, Ray understands how this business works. You know what I'm saying? Be more like Ray. Ray Diaz coming in to move the chair in an instant, in a heartbeat, because he knows that's exactly what to do. Hub Arkish and I hanging out till 9 o'clock today. Hub, you didn't bring no sandwiches for me, man.
I'm sorry. I was late getting here, really? I'm still writing a script for the TV show, and I'm going to starve. So you are too, okay. Unfortunately. Well,
I got a slice of pizza here, so I could slice it in half.
And we I'm fine.
Do a little bit of that. Hub, I've been excited about talking to you today just because, you know, I have some Bears thoughts. And the first one I wanted to open with, and we will get the phone lines going in just a little bit, so make sure you guys hang out for that. I wanted to talk, a lot of people, you know, are talking about, just like we were during transition, you know, Justin Fields, the short-term future. But I want to have more conversations with you specifically about the long-term success and future of the Chicago Bears, right? Mm-hmm. Because I do think they're headed in the right direction. And we were kind of touching on it where, you know, organizations that have won consistently throughout the decades or have been known as winning franchises, like, let's talk about what that looks like and how far away, right? If those were the variables that are not yet there for the Chicago Bears, you know, what that looks like for that organization?
Well, I think we have to learn more about and have a better understanding of both Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, you know, and how this team is going to be run, you know, in the next couple of years, how it's going to be rebuilt. We've seen the start. And all they're focused on right now with this rebuild is getting more talent, you know, which is where you got to start a rebuild. Okay. But at some point, you know, if they draft and the right guys and sign the right free agents and the talent does get better and they go to the playoffs next year, they were never going this year, you know, I'm not saying they're going next year, but the third year, the second full year of a rebuild is enough time to have the talent because you only got to win, 9-10 games these days to get to the playoffs. So if they take that step next year, do they then start, you know, doing the key things to become one of the best teams in the league and adding special players? It's one thing to improve the talent. It's another thing to pick the right special players. Now, I think we saw a great hope and sign in Montez Sweat. Because I started talking about them trading specifically for him week two. We knew what was going on in Washington. We knew that him and the other kid were going to be available. You know, they both ended up getting traded. And Sweat is a guy who I think everybody can see is going to go to a few Pro Bowls. You know, now if you get four or five of those guys, then you are, you know, doing it right. Then you've got one of those organizations you're talking about, like the 49ers, the one we mentioned, who's going to be competitive every year, regardless of who the quarterback is. And that's what I want to see more of the rest of this season. And that's going to be the most important thing really next season, is seeing the new additions when they're really at the point where they should be thinking about trying to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, unique position for the Chicago Bears, where, you know, for the last two seasons, they've had an immense amount of draft capital and money. Mm-hmm. Right, to be able to give free agents and to build their team. And so I, like you, think that the Bears, even next year, I mean, if they make the playoffs, that would be great, but I don't think they'd be vying for a Super Bowl. It's 2 years out, right? Because I know they're going to be able to make additions this offseason. And then players getting older, wiser, still being in their contracts, and then still being the add-on in that third year, then I say, okay, well, in my mind, as I play this game where I think to the future of the Bears, year three, they're good. Good enough to at least be at the top of the NFC. And then I can't seem to think past that.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, because then it's the re-signing of players.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the reloading of things. You build something from the ground up. Okay, that almost seems not easy, but easier than keeping it going. Where if, yeah, I can get rid of bad players, add some good ones. Woof, I did it. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like writing a first album. They say you wait your whole life to write your first album. That's why sophomore albums are so bad, because then you're forced to write the second one, right? So take me there. Take me to the re-signing of particular players, like a DJ Moore, or you know, is it confidence in who's there to think that, you know, they've hit at a high enough rate already that would then continue? Like take me to 3 years from now when we know they're good, and the Bears building from that.
Well, I don't think we know enough yet because I'm thinking about last year's draft. Forget this year's. I'm not ready to analyze that one yet. You know, yeah. We're still trying to figure out how much they got out of the last one. And this year's draft is starting to look pretty decent. I mean, Tyrique Stevenson, I think, has a chance to be a special cornerback,
yeah.
You know, what we've seen from him. All of a sudden now, you know, the kids that they took in the second round, the defensive line, are starting to make plays, you know. And if these drafts are, if they become as good as they could become based on what we've seen so far, then you have a reason to start to get a little excited, because that tells us that Poles knows what he's doing there, you know, and I think from what we've seen so far, there is hope that he does. All those free agent signings this year are looking pretty good, I think,
yeah.
You know, and so again, if you've got the right guy in Ryan Poles, and if Kevin Warren knows how to manage him and everything about the finances of the organization, then you have what you need to build one of these teams that is a contender and a competitor every year.
Yeah, when you say that, Hub, I start to think of where now everyone that's, as you were mentioning, the draft picks from last year and this year, the assumption was when they came in or got drafted that they would need to be starters because the team was, you know, obviously talent deficient. So now in 3 years, now when I put those two statements together, I'm like, oh, okay, well, in 3 years, those draft picks are now depth,
mm-hmm.
right? And now instead of, you know, banking on Tyrique Stevenson being your absolute starter and being sad that he's not having forced to be Terrell Smith in the event that he goes down. Now a Tyrique type is your Terrell Smith instead of vice versa. So it's building on the roster, getting special players. And for me, Hub, I'm fearful of staying with a Justin Fields, right? Because I like you, I think he should be starting week one of next year. We think that who will be backing him up is different people, but we both think that there should still be an opportunity given to him to be able to prove himself, because he is getting better week after week, as we're seeing. I'm fearful of the time where Justin is not, you know, where it comes to a clear realization that he is not the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and then they have to move on from him. Because then you're left with, are you getting a veteran quarterback? Right. And that's what I think, again, fearful of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, this is like a therapy session, Hub, where I'm just, these are the things that I'm scared when it comes to the Chicago Bears. When was, you know, Jay Cutler was the last, you know, really good veteran quarterback. And then after that, you know, the only, you know, I'm thinking of a Nick Foles, and I'm not excited about that opportunity either, to bring somebody like that in.
Well, there's nothing exciting about it, but it may be the right thing to do for a year or two. I mean, you look at what Gardner Minshew is doing right now, what Baker Mayfield is doing right now. I mean, these are guys who at one time were also supposed to be top quarterbacks, didn't become top quarterbacks, but they're now playing at a high enough level to win NFL games and to get to the playoffs. You know, now I don't know if they could win a Super Bowl if they got there or not. Probably not, but you know, there's nothing wrong with having one of those guys on your ride. I mean, I'm sure that right now, Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus probably wish that they had yeah. Mayfield or Minshew, you know, and they don't, and that's okay because that's where they're at in the rebuild. But the thing about Justin that makes me crazy is everybody, oh, trade him. They're not getting a first-round draft choice for Justin Fields. If you're trading him, why is somebody going to give you a number one pick for him? I mean, you know, I don't know how much they can get for him in a trade. And so I think he has more value to him giving it another year and more time to develop. Also, take advantage of these draft picks and get another top quarterback to compete with him. There's nothing wrong with having two potential, starting quarterbacks.
People, because that's what everybody keeps saying, huh? Right? It's like, oh, well, when I've said that, right? When I said, hey, in my ideal situation, you know, New England has number two, Bears have one. New England wants their guy so much, they don't want another team to leapfrog them to get the Bears slot. So then they trade with the Bears. Bears get two and the draft picks and the quarterback. But everyone's counter to that is you can have Justin Fields with, you know, Drake May or Caleb Williams, whatever, sitting behind him. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Is a rookie quarterback going to come in with so much, you know, so much cockiness that he's like, no, I need to be starting week one of the season?
Well, there's not only that, but you also have to realize that maybe Justin Fields can be a great NFL player, but not a great NFL quarterback. Has anybody been watching what the New Orleans Saints are doing right now? Has anybody been watching what the Lions are doing right now with these ex-quarterbacks who are now multi-purpose players? I mean, you know, Fields.
Cleveland did it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Justin Fields is a great person. He is a great athlete. He is a great runner. He has not shown that he's a quarterback yet. But you have him. And if you can get your quarterback and keep him as your quarterback's great weapon, there's nothing wrong with that either. I'm not saying that's what they're thinking or that's what they're doing, but there are all kinds of options here. And all the fans and some of these media people keep focusing on the options that aren't good ones. You know, I don't know why they're doing that.
That'd be a tough sell to get Justin to buy into, you know, being that type of a Taysom Hill type quarterback. I think that he'd probably like force his way out of Chicago before he, you know, was relegated and accepted of that kind of role, don't you think?
It's interesting to me to hear you say that because I don't think that. As a matter of fact, I think the opposite because of a lot of the positive things that so many of us have to say about him. He's an impressive young man. He's a smart young man. And when I became terribly concerned about his developing into the Bears franchise quarterback, it was between week 4 or 5 when I was sitting in the room when he made the statement and he was asked, I forget who asked the question, well, what is not working now? And when he said it might be the way I'm being coached, it was at that moment that I pretty much made up my mind he's not going to be the Bears franchise. You know,
right.
And there are so many, again, I don't take it seriously, but we have to listen to what fans say and what other media members say. And when they, you know, talk about Getsy being the problem or Flus being the problem and he was right. No, he couldn't have been more wrong. It was a dumb thing to say. That's why he couldn't wait to try and take it back, before practice was even over. But that's the way his mind works. And, you know, he doesn't understand what he doesn't know yet. And that's the problem. But he is such a quality person and athlete. And I think very much wants to be a star in the league that if that was the option, based on, you know, more things that have happened on the field, because that's not going to happen overnight. But if that was where he ended up with the Bears, it might not be the worst thing in the world, you know. And quite frankly, he can try and force a trade, but he's the Bears property for at least 2 more years. So if that's where he fits best, then take advantage of it.
Yeah. But, you know, the in 2023, sometimes you can force your way out of a situation. We've seen a lot of people do. Even Chase Claypool did it. If you were thinking, you know, him speaking to the media, right, was probably a way where, you know, he was like, man, I don't want to be here. And I know if I say this, it's going to get me out of here. And so I'm just saying people can do that. I feel like Justin Fields would want to prove that he can be a starter in the NFL. And this is coming from somebody that does want to move on from Justin Fields. I'll be very clear. But I look at him and I look at his makeup, and then especially with everyone just saying how good he is, you know, guys like Darnell Mooney this week and DJ Moore, I think he'd want to prove that he could start somewhere. But it'll be interesting because, I do feel like next year he should be the starter with a rookie behind him, and then he gets the chance to prove himself, and then the rookie could learn. What I've been saying is rookie could learn to what to do and what not to do from Justin Fields. Right. And just like any other person that gets an opportunity to sit.
I think what we completely agree on is that just because you get another quarterback doesn't mean you have to get rid of Justin Fields.
Right.
And with where they're at, because of the good shape that Ryan Poles put them in with these extra draft picks and with the ability to make a move like that. Now, with my plan, which is not anything more than what I think could work.
So this awesome, beautiful space for radio is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you believe, everybody I think agrees that if they all come out, there's going to be five or six quarterbacks in the first round. If you believe that Williams isn't the best, then the Bears have all the tools they need to do whatever they want and get everything, not just a quarterback.
Correct.
Now, the question is, with the other three or four after May and Williams, is there a franchise quarterback? That I don't know yet. Yeah. Nobody knows that yet, but I haven't even seen enough of them to say that one of them is. But if you believe that, then you have all the tools you have to fix everything at once, and this could be a great offseason for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. We got Leo Stoddard producing today. Leo, what up, man? You feeling good over there?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited to do the show.
Hub, did you know that Leo Stoddard is a 2-time all-conference track star?
That's right.
Leo and I actually just met for the first time about 25 minutes
really?
Ago.
Oh,
so
great.
That it's good
that's
to know.
What I tell people when I first meet them. That was a little while ago.
That should be your new clip right there. Did you know that Leo is? I don't know why I'm impressed like a big brother. I feel like I'm just like, great, my little brother's a 2-time All-State track star. I got to tell people
all conference,
about that.
All-State.
Damn, all-conference. I got to write the first time, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Leo, would you do us the favor of opening up the phone lines, please?
Yes, sir.
All right. We've been talking a lot of Bears, talking about the future of the Bears, but most certainly are interested in the present and what is going on. And we'd love to get your calls and your thoughts. We got Hub Arkish here hanging out, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the future of the Bears, where they're headed, what direction they should be going in, and what you would do in that scenario. We'll take your calls after this. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez
and SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish
on 670 The Score.
Got a chance to talk about the future of the Chicago Bears and what that could look like. Having a team that is successful year in and year out. Wow. What does that feel like? I just feel like there were a couple years in my, you know, adult age, Hub, where, you know, Bears are pretty good. And then just a lot of heartache.
I covered a team like that.
Yeah, I'm sure for quite a while.
Well, no, it wasn't for quite a while. And it was actually 40 years ago, but it was 84 through 89.
Oh.
You know, but I mean, I was still young, actually. But it was special. And to get back there would be just great.
Talk to me about, like, before we get to these phone calls, talk to me about, like, the years leading up to that big Super Bowl, right? Like, people always talk about the Super Bowl year. But we never hear, like, the years leading up to it. Were they close the year before? Was there, like, were they, like, did they add a piece that got them over the hump to get, you know, like, what was?
You know, I think that there was a sense in 84 that what was coming, well, not that they were as good as they turned out to be,
okay. But
that they were almost there. And then,
because the defense was still good in 84.
The defense was good throughout the 80s, even early in the 80s, and even before Ditka got there, you know.
Okay.
And I think that there really was a sense in 84 that maybe something really cool is happening here. And then 85, that's too hard to describe, you know. And the fact that they didn't win another one after 85 was disappointing, because the 86, 87, 88 teams, they were all just as good. It was all the same team. They were young in 85 when they won that Super Bowl. And that, you know, 5-6 year stretch was, you know, the best football I've ever seen in Chicago.
But my dad always blames it on Wilbur Marshall.
Wilbur Marshall?
Not getting re-signed, right? Is that what, that's the one thing he was like, oh, it's because they wouldn't re-sign Wilbur Marshall. I'd just be like, what?
No,
okay,
I mean,
one thing?
Actually, the reason they only won one Super Bowl was the same story as we have today. It was the quarterback. They didn't have the quarterback, you know.
Okay.
And I'm not, Jim McMahon, different guy,
yeah,
you know, and was a big, a huge part of that Super Bowl team.
Of course.
And a pretty good quarterback, although I'm sure you know, never really became the starter anywhere else, you know, after he left Chicago. But, you know, that team was based on defense and Walter, you know, and Walter was near the end. And you can't win with just defense. You can be great, you know, with good defense. But offensively, you know, they weren't special. They had a really good offensive line, you know. But what we were talking about earlier, they had probably 7 or 8 special players, you know.
Okay.
And that's why they were competitive for 5 or 6 years. But what they didn't have was the quarterback who could be the difference. And they didn't have the receivers, you know, who could win games for you with special plays like we saw last night.
Yeah.
You know, and then since then, I mean, I can't explain it.
Yeah, we've all been trying to figure that out.
You know, everybody's always looking for somebody to blame in Chicago.
Yeah.
You don't need to blame anybody.
That's
but,
true.
But, you know, why things went wrong for 30-some years after that group, I can't really answer that for you, other than they just didn't have the talent. They had some more good coaches, you know, they had some good drafts, you know, they had some good players, but they just didn't have enough, and they didn't have the key to being, you know, the Chiefs or now the 49ers or maybe you could say the Bengals, you know, when he's healthy. They didn't have the quarterback who could make the difference when everybody else wasn't getting the job done.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are debating about right now. What is that quarterback situation going to look like for the Chicago Bears? It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish here on 670 The Score. Let's go to some phones as we're out here on a wonderful Tuesday. Let's go to Harry out in Salem, Wisconsin. Harry, you got a question about Justin Fields and what compensation could look like for him, right?
Hi, Gabe. Appreciate taking the call. I enjoy your work. And Hub, always great to hear your opinion.
You.
I'm agreeing that we should trade Carolina's pick, given that we'll likely not be able to differentiate necessarily who's the best quarterback, Williams, May, Daniels, trade the pick for a boatload. And at the same time, I still think there needs to be a quarterback drafted. Hub, I'll respect your opinion. I'm going to think about it. McCarthy, perhaps. My question is, and I know it's insanity, and I don't believe it for a second, that we could ever get a first-round draft choice for Fields, and I think the most we'll ever get is a third. I have a hard time thinking that Fields would accept a hybrid role, but I think he'd be incredibly effective. So I'll back up once more, and I'll position my question. Would you guys, Hub, would you trade Fields for a third if you could get one?
Well, let me be clear on one thing first. McCarthy's not even my pick yet. Right now, as I look at these quarterbacks, he's the one that looks to me to maybe have the best shot to be a franchise quarterback. But the draft is still, 4 or 5 months away?
Yeah, a lot of
I'm not even saying I would necessarily. Yeah. But I think that the point is, it's not just Williams. It's not just May. You know this. There's 5 or 6 of these guys. Now, would I trade Justin Fields for a third-round pick? No. I don't think that's enough. You know, I think that he has more potential value to the Bears than that third round pick is likely to have. I think that you have to get a high second round pick to feel good about it. I just can't imagine why anybody would give up a first round pick knowing that the Bears don't believe in him and the Bears already gave up, you know, multiple first round picks.
But maybe it's like a desperate team that's losing their quarterback that has a 20th pick or something. Like, let's just say like the Vikings, right? If they win like 2 more games, then they'll probably have like the 20th pick. Kirk Cousins is walking away, let's just say, and then the Vikings give up the 20th. I'm not saying that. I'm saying something like that would maybe equate to a first round pick. I guess you wait for a desperate team, Cub, because what we both know is that Ryan Poles, in each of his first 2 seasons, has made a trade at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid to, and he's not afraid to pick up the phone or make phone calls for that matter. And maybe there'll be some desperate teams that would want a Justin Fields middle of next season, you know, if he's performing at an all right level and the Bears are ready to hand the keys to the incumbent quarterback. That would be interesting,
mm-hmm,
if that were the case. But again, look at me. The fan is coming out of me trying to get the best possible return for Justin Fields as opposed to a real one.
The problem with that plan, though, it's not a plan, but the problem with that idea is that then you're pretty much writing off next year again too. You know, I mean, if you're keeping Fields, you're starting him, but then you're going to trade him halfway through the season.
Well, because what if I'm talking about a scenario where you're not, let's say we're 7 games in the season and he's 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, maybe they might be saying to themselves, okay, we thought Justin was going to be a lot better than this. He's 3-4. You know, we want to make a push because we do like our team. Let's trade Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, that would be okay. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that wouldn't be part of my plan today as to how I want to rebuild this
thing.
Right. I mean, you know, my reason for saying I would keep him is because I can still get my next quarterback and keep him and still get more by not doing it with the first pick, by doing it with whatever it's the 4th or the 7th pick or wherever they end up. And so I think that is a real option. That's the problem with Justin Fields is that, you know, everybody thinks that because I, from the beginning of the season, have been saying I'm not so sure. Mm. Everybody thinks I'm anti-Justin Fields. It couldn't be further from the truth. I'm really impressed by the young man in a lot of ways, just not as a franchise quarterback. And, you know, there's only 31 guys who matter right now. The 31 who might make the trade to get him, okay? And they've been seeing the same thing that I've been focused on, which is the couple things that he has shown no improvement on, and that if he doesn't improve, he won't be a franchise quarterback. And again, that's his reading of the field, his decision-making, and his accuracy. And I keep hearing all this talk from all the fans and other members of the media and everything. He's done this, he's done that. Go back and watch the tape, guys. He has not improved in those 3 areas, and those are the ones that matter the most if you're going to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, when I'm doing the overnight tub on our football Mondays here, those are the conversations that we're having about Justin, and people are like, hey, you know, I really like Justin. I love what he does. And then I'll say, okay, well, what does he need to work on? And it'll be things that we've been saying consistently for 3 years. And that's what I try to point out. I'm just like, hey, there's just certain areas. It's not that people think that if you say something bad about Justin Fields, you're saying he's trash. And it's not that's not what's happening. I keep continuing to say he's between 13 and 17 in the NFL right now. He's a good quarterback, but there's an opportunity to, you know, to improve on that. And I think you should be trying to improve in every area of your team, even if that means the quarterback position. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Greg in Highland Park. Greg, what's your thought on Justin Fields and his future here with the Chicago Bears?
So I love the pairing of you guys. My question is more for Hub. Hub, we spend a lot of time talking about the Justin Fields issue or questions, but how much of it is governed by who's going to be the new head coach, or what role does that have to play in deciding what's going to happen with Fields? Is there a timing thing and maybe a sequence thing that we should be keeping in mind?
I have a question for you. You've already decided that there's going to be a new head coach?
I'm saying if, right? If. No, okay. And I haven't.
Yeah.
Maybe for the purpose of the question, assuming there is, like, how much input or is that part of the evaluation process? If they're considering a new head coach, what is the potential candidate's thoughts about Justin Fields or a different person or Matt Eberflus is going forward? Like, what's the sequence, do you think, of how this is decided?
It's a good question.
Well, I think the answer is that if they are hiring a new head coach and not giving him significant say in who the quarterback is going to be, then they shouldn't bother because they're going to screw it up again. You know, I mean, if there is a new head coach, he will have significant input, not into whether or not they keep Justin, but if they're going to take another quarterback, who it's going to be and who they want the starting quarterback to be. They also are going to want to, if they hire a new head coach, get his opinion on where Justin's at and whether they think he is still developable. That's a word.
Developable. That sounds about right to me. Let's pull that back just a little bit, because I want the answer to the other side of the question, and that is, if Eberflus keeps his job, whose voice will be the loudest? Because you just said it, right? In the event they bring in another coach, his voice will be heard loudly by everyone. But in the event that it's still Eberflus, whose voice is going to be the loudest when assessing Justin Fields and his future with the Bears?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Matt Eberflus reports to Ryan Poles, you know, and it's Ryan Poles. If he doesn't have that authority, then he should go get another GM job, because this isn't a good one.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
He has to be in complete control in charge of the roster. That's why you gave him the job. And as I think we've agreed, he's done some good things, you know, but I think that as near as I can tell, he and Flus have a very good relationship, and they seem to communicate often and with trust in each other and with, you know, and believing what each other have to say. So, you know, a lot of people keep separating Poles or Flus or maybe, or Getsy or whoever. They're all part of the organization. Poles is the boss. And so I think it's going to be Ryan Poles' call as to what they do with Justin Fields. And I think he'll want to know what Flus thinks, and I think he'll listen to what Flus has to say. But at the end of the day, the guy who makes the decision is Ryan Poles.
That's going to be interesting. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Gabe Ramirez. It's 670 The Score. We got to take a break? All right. Damn. All right. We're going to take some more phone calls, take some more thoughts. There's an interesting one on here, and he's concerned about a specific area of the Chicago Bears, especially in close games. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez and Hub Arkish right here on 670 The Score.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez
and Score senior football analyst Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
I was waiting for the beat to drop right there, man. This is a bad loop. I'm trying to get hyped. Leo Stoddard producing today. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish, here on 670 The Score, hanging out till 9 o'clock. Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-17, a game they most certainly, a lot of people feel like they should have won. Another game where they had a big lead late. And who do you think is more on, Hub? You think it's more on the defense not stopping them, or the offense not putting up points? That was a big debate on the overnight after the game.
You know, I don't know how you can fault the defense after the game they played.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns are 9-5. They're a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs again this year. they outplayed them, you know, and so to blame the defense or the coaches, just I don't see how you do that, particularly when the offense didn't score any points. I mean, their points came from turnovers, you know, and this is where, I go back, and I've got notes. I left them at home, but I wrote down the passes that Fields missed in the second half that would have been plays that would have ended in points, you know, and so I think we make too much out of the fact that it's the third time in the fourth quarter. I know it's frustrating and annoying and everything else, but then when you try and figure out, well, whose fault was it or how could it have been fixed or what could, I mean, I would ask somebody who wants to, if they want to call and tell me, what should Flus have done differently? What should Getsy have done differently? Is it something, do you have any examples of where the coaches are responsible, or is it that the players didn't execute? And how many times have we heard Flus say that? We've got to execute. You know, we've got a complementary football, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought that it was more on what the offense didn't do to make the lead even bigger in the fourth quarter. And again, I don't blame anybody for the loss. They lost to a better team is what happened. And I think that in this rebuild, people who understand what you're doing, fans should feel more good about what happened Sunday. Frustrated you lost the game, but look at how far this team has come in the last 6-7 weeks. It's happening now, and this is what they're supposed to be doing.
Definitely a lot closer than they've been in the last couple of years. That we know for sure. All right, it's Gabe, it's Hub, it's 670 The Score. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Andy out in Kansas City. Andy, we were just talking about it. Bears losing a close one, and that's a concern of yours over the last couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe and Hub love the show, and Hub makes a great point. There's no question that this team is improving. You can see it. They're competitive. They're playing good teams really well. No question about that. But when you look at the NFL is a parity league also. That's why everybody loves it. I mean, a lot of these games come down to one score. And you look in the Eberflus era, they've had 15 games that have been decided by one score. They're 3-12 in those games. So, you know, I don't know where you want to place the blame or whatever. An interesting stat, you know, kind of to Hub's point also, is that throw out the pick six because the defense scored on its own, but that defense has gotten 13 turnovers for that Bears offense here in the last several games, and they've scored on a grand total of 5 of them. And then, you know, the one in Cleveland, you know, where you get first and goal at basically the 2-yard line, and it was like extracting a molar with your fingers trying to get in the end zone. I mean, basically, Fields had to make a great play to commit in order to score on that when, you know, maybe a couple of tush pushes or even one, you know, where you don't jump off sides gets you in the end zone. So, you know, yes, there's been really bad execution on offense. And, you know, to Hub's point, and to your point, too, Gabe, is I actually would keep Fields around for a year. You mentioned I'm in the Kansas City area. So I think you probably draft a quarterback, you know, that maybe they wind up being a franchise quarterback. But if you look at Patrick Mahomes, he sat behind Alex Smith for a year. He didn't get thrown into the fire right away. So there's no reason not to keep Fields. And also, all of these guys are getting injured all the time. I mean, Fields himself has missed 4 games.
Yeah, that's
Bateman is a really nice backup. You know, he's 2-2. You can't really argue with it, but he's not a franchise quarterback either.
Exactly. You got to have sometimes options is not a bad thing. I don't think a good team with multiple, you know, quarterbacks isn't a bad thing. But in close games, you know, he's talking about Landon. I heard it in his voice. He was trying to lay the blame on someone.
Well,
it was Flus. I read his mind. It was Flus.
Yeah. You know, well, everybody wants to blame someone. I understand that. I just wish it was being done fairly. You know, sure. That's all. And you know, there was nothing. That was a good call. I'm not saying he said anything unreasonable or unfair. But it's hard to be patient in anything, not just in football, but particularly when you only get 17 games a year. And when you see games get away like it did Sunday, you know, like it did the first one with the Lions, you know, those type of things, the Broncos one is still the one that kills me.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize, the Broncos are probably a playoff team. You know, they've turned out to be a pretty good team. You know, it's not like the Bears just stink and they're, you know, losing games because they don't know what they're doing. It's so much of this is just about being patient and accepting and understanding what you're watching these last few weeks, that it is working. It's just not working as fast as anybody would like it to. And I think the reality is, At the end of the day, it's the NFL. The blame is going to go back on the quarterback. The quarterback also gets all the credit. Nobody ever talks about that. But when it goes well, everybody assumes, well, it was the quarterback who did it, you know?
Exactly.
And so it's not that there's anything wrong with Justin Fields. It's that that's the position he's playing, and that's the, and he knows that. That's the reality he has to accept.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. Like you said, ever since he stepped foot in Chicago, the media has been on him. But that's what you get when you come to a big market. A lot of eyes on you, especially here when you play for the Chicago Bears. Let's take one more call before we go to break. We got George out in Houston. George, appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app. What's your take on Justin Fields and this upcoming draft?
Hey, Gabe, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So the guy before me just stole a little bit of my thunder, but I'm wondering, why is this such a big deal for the Bears to not keep Justin Fields holding on a fourth year of a rookie deal and then, you know, draft either Caleb Williams or Drake May with the first or second pick wherever Carolina ends up?
Well, it was interesting. It's interesting that you say that, George, underwater. Mm-hmm. But Hub had another idea for the Bears with that number one pick if it's not a quarterback at the one slot.
Well, your first thought has to be to trade it because we learned last year you can get so much for it. You got to find out what you can get for it. But another option, and this is where there are some things we do know. This is still being called one of the best quarterback draft groups of all time. There's more than one option. One thing I would seriously consider is using the number one pick on Marvin Harrison Jr., who I'm told by a number of people who know more about it than me, he is the best player in this draft and is a good fit with the Bears. Can you imagine what him and DJ Moore together would look like with Cole Kmet and how good that would be for the quarterback? And you still got that fourth, fifth, or sixth pick if one of the other quarterbacks is the guy. So that's another thing to consider.
That's interesting. No one really brought that up much, but a Marvin Harrison Jr. and then, like, I'm a big Michael Penix Jr. fan, but they're saying he's not even going to go in the first round. He's like a second-round pick.
Well, Harrison Jr. is going second.
Right.
Somebody is going to use that first-round pick either on Williams or maybe May. But,
right. And then after that...
Well, I mean, and then there could be another trade to get the one of those two who wasn't taken, depending on what teams think of him. But Harrison isn't lasting any more than third.
No, not at
and
all.
And he probably is the best player in the draft. And if I'm the Bears and I know I can get my quarterback also in the first round, then I've really gotten better.
Yeah, and then you got your second-round pick to... couple second round picks to feel good about yourselves too. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. I have a question for Hub, and it's about a guy we haven't spoke much about lately, and it is Darnell Mooney, and whether or what his future looks like. Maybe not even just with the Chicago Bears, but the rest of the NFL, some potential suitors. We'll talk about that and maybe take a couple more phone calls as well. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez
and SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish
on 670 The Score.
I was waiting for the beat to drop right there, man. This is a bad loop. I'm trying to get hyped. Leo Stoddard producing today. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish, here on 670 The Score, hanging out till 9 o'clock. Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-17, a game they most certainly, a lot of people feel like they should have won. Another game where they had a big lead late. And who do you think is more on, Hub? You think it's more on the defense not stopping them or the offense not putting up points? That was a big debate on the overnight after the game.
You know, I don't know how you can fault the defense after the game they played.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns are 9-5. They're a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs again this year. They outplayed them, you know, and so to blame the defense or the coaches, just I don't see how you do that, particularly when the offense didn't score any points. I mean, their points came from turnovers, you know, and this is where, I go back, and I've got notes. I left them at home, but I wrote down the passes that Fields missed in the second half that would have been plays that would have ended in points, you know? Yeah. And so I think we make too much out of the fact that it's the third time in the fourth quarter. I know it's frustrating and annoying and everything else, but then when you try and figure out, well, whose fault was it or how could it have been fixed or what could, I mean, I would ask somebody who wants to, if they want to call and tell me, what should Flus have done differently? What should Getsy have done differently? Is it something? Do you have any examples of where the coaches are responsible, or is it that the players didn't execute? And how many times have we heard Flus say that? We've got to execute. You know, we've got to complementary football, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought that it was more on what the offense didn't do to make the lead even bigger in the fourth quarter. And again, I don't blame anybody for the loss. They lost to a better team, is what happened. And I think that in this rebuild, people who understand what you're doing, fans should feel more good about what happened Sunday. Frustrated you lost the game, but look at how far this team has come in the last 6-7 weeks. It's happening now,
yeah.
And this is what they're supposed to be doing.
Definitely a lot closer than they've been in the last couple of years. That we know for sure. All right, it's Gabe, it's Hub, it's 670 The Score. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Andy out in Kansas City. Andy, we were just talking about it. Bears losing a close one, and that's a concern of yours over the last couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe and Hub love the show, and Hub makes a great point. There's no question that this team is improving. You can see it. They're competitive. They're playing good teams really well. No question about that. But when you look at the NFL is a parity league also. That's why everybody loves it. I mean, a lot of these games come down to one score. And you look in the Eberflus era, they've had 15 games that have been decided by one score. They're 3-12 in those games. So, you know, I don't know where you want to place the blame or whatever. An interesting stat, you know, kind of to Hub's point also, is that throw out the pick six because the defense scored on its own, but that defense has gotten 13 turnovers for that Bears offense here in the last several games, and they've scored on a grand total of 5 of them. And then, you know, the one in Cleveland, you know, where you get first and goal at basically the 2-yard line, and it was like extracting a molar with your fingers trying to get in the end zone. I mean, basically, Fields had to make a great play to commit in order to score on that when, you know, maybe a couple of tush pushes or even one, you know, where you don't jump off sides gets you in the end zone. So, you know, yes, there's been really bad execution on offense. And, you know, to Hub's point, and to your point, too, Gabe, is I actually would keep Fields around for a year. You mentioned him in the Kansas City area. So I think you probably draft a quarterback, you know, that maybe they wind up being a franchise quarterback. But if you look at Patrick Mahomes, he sat behind Alex Smith for a year. He didn't get thrown into the fire right away. So there's no reason not to keep Fields. And also, all of these guys are getting injured all the time. I mean, Fields himself has missed four games.
Yeah, that's
a good is a really nice backup. You know, he's 2-2. You can't really argue with it, but he's not a franchise quarterback either.
Exactly. You got to have sometimes options is not a bad thing. I don't think a good team with multiple, you know, quarterbacks isn't a bad thing. But in close games, you know, he's talking about laying the – I heard it in his voice. He was trying to lay the blame on someone.
Well,
it was Flus. I read his mind. It was Flus.
Yeah, you know. Well, everybody wants to blame someone. I understand that. I just wish it was being done fairly. You know, sure. That's all. And you know, there was nothing. That was a good call. I'm not saying he said anything unreasonable or unfair. But it's hard to be patient in anything, not just in football, but particularly when you only get 17 games a year. And when you see games get away like it did Sunday, you know, like it did the first one with the Lions, you know, those type of things, the Broncos one is still the one that kills me.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize, the Broncos are probably a playoff team. You know, they've turned out to be a pretty good team. You know, it's not like the Bears just stink and they're, you know, losing games because they don't know what they're doing. So much of this is just about being patient and accepting and understanding what you're watching these last few weeks, that it is working. It's just not working as fast as anybody would like it to. And I think the reality is, at the end of the day, it's the NFL. The blame is going to go back on the quarterback. The quarterback also gets all the credit. Nobody ever talks about that. But when it goes well, everybody assumes, well, it was the quarterback who did it, you know?
Exactly.
And so it's not that there's anything wrong with Justin Fields. It's that that's the position he's playing, and that's and he knows that. That's the reality he has to accept.
Yeah, a lot of pressure, like you said. Ever since he stepped foot in Chicago, the media has been on him. But that's what you get when you come to a big market. A lot of eyes on you, especially here. When you play for the Chicago Bears. Let's take one more call before we go to break. We got George out in Houston. George, appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app. What's your take on Justin Fields and this upcoming draft?
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So the guy before me just stole a little bit of my thunder, but I'm wondering, why is this such a big deal for the Bears to not keep Justin Fields holding on a fourth year of a rookie deal? And then, you know, draft either Caleb Williams or Drake May with the first or second pick wherever Carolina ends up.
Well, it was interesting. It's interesting that you say that, George, underwater. Mm-hmm. But Hub had another idea for the Bears with that number one pick if it's not a quarterback at the one slot.
Well, your first thought has to be to trade it because we learned last year you can get so much for it. You got to find out what you can get for it. But another option, and this is where there are some things we do know. This is still being called one of the best quarterback draft groups of all time. There's more than one option. One thing I would seriously consider is using the number one pick on Marvin Harrison Jr., who I'm told by a number of people who know more about it than me, he is the best player in this draft and is a good fit with the Bears. Can you imagine what him and DJ Moore together would look like with Cole Kmet and how good that would be for the quarterback? And you still got that fourth, fifth, or sixth pick if one of the other quarterbacks is the guy. So that's another thing to consider.
That's interesting. No one really brought that up much, but a Marvin Harrison Jr. and then, like, I'm a big Michael Penix Jr. fan, but they're saying he's not even going to go in the first round. He's like a second-round pick.
Well, Harrison Jr. is going second.
Right.
Somebody is going to use that first-round pick either on Williams or maybe May. But,
right. And then after that.
Well, and then there could be another trade to get the one of those two who wasn't taken, depending on what teams think of him. But Harrison isn't lasting any more than third.
No, not at all.
And he probably is the best player in the draft. And if I'm the Bears and I know I can get my quarterback also in the first round, then I've really gotten better.
Yeah, and then you got your second-round pick to – couple second round picks to feel good about yourselves too. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. I have a question for Hub, and it's about a guy we haven't spoke much about lately, and it is Darnell Mooney, and what his future looks like. Maybe not even just with the Chicago Bears, but the rest of the NFL, some potential suitors. We'll talk about that and maybe take a couple more phone calls as well. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.